You're listening to the RSA Conference podcast, where the world talks security.
Hello, listeners. Welcome to this edition of our RSAC 365 podcast series. Thank you for tuning in. I'm Tatiana Sanchez.
And I'm Casey Zirkus.
And we are your RSA Conference podcast hosts. Our theme of the month is cloud security, and that's why we're excited to be joined by Bar Kaduri and Neil Carpenter, both from Orca Security, while they reveal the overlooked basics of cloud security and how organizations can reduce cloud security risk. Before we get started, I wanted to remind our listeners that here at RSAC, we host podcasts twice a month, and I encourage you to subscribe, rate, and review us on your preferred podcast app so you can be notified when new tracks are posted. And now I would like to ask my guests to take a moment to introduce themselves before we dive into today's topic. Bar, do we want to start with you?
Yeah, of course. Thank you. So my name is Bar, and I lead the security research for Orca.
And I'm Neil Carpenter. I am our field CTO, so I work closely with customer organizations. I do a lot of speaking and writing about cloud security.
Well, we are thrilled to have you both with us today. And I know that in our planning for this podcast, you had proposed talking about the neglected essentials of cloud security, noting that the basics of cloud security are, quote, widely overlooked by organizations of all sizes. So I wanted to maybe start with you sharing for our listeners exactly what these neglected essentials are. Is it security and cloud teams working together? Is it shifting left? Break it down for our listeners.
Sure. I'll jump in first there. So we just published what we call the state of the cloud, which is a look at the data we see across the last year. And there were some great illustrations in there. One of the first ones, what we call neglected assets, which are things that haven't been patched in a while, maybe running on an outdated operating system, users who haven't logged in, user accounts or roles that haven't been used, all of those sorts of things. And so one of the key findings was really illustrative to me. 81% of organizations have neglected assets that are exposed to the internet on a port that's typically used or that's typically exploited. So SSH, HTTP are some of the common ones, right? So 4/5 of everybody out there has some set of assets that are unpatched, that are out of date, that are maybe on an unsupported operating system and exposed to the outside world. Which is a tremendous illustration of the sorts of neglected essentials that we're talking about. And so, you know, we saw sort of two big incidents in the last few months at Microsoft at Cloudflare that were similarly really neglected assets that were sitting out in testing environments that the company thought were unused, that they were unaware of, that were used for a very successful and a less successful compromise. Some of the other ones, you know, I think aging vulnerabilities and vulnerability management is a huge one. And so Log4Shell, CVE 2021-44228, weird that I know that off the top of my head, and the associated vulnerabilities. We've known about these for what, since the end of 2021. They're very large, very exploitable, very dangerous vulnerabilities. And yet what we see is 59% of organizations have at least one asset that's vulnerable to Log4Shell. And largely we think because they're adding new assets as they're adding new applications and virtual machines and containers, et cetera, to their cloud environment, they're not necessarily finding those sorts of issues as they're being deployed. So these aren't necessarily things that have been vulnerable since 2021. In a lot of cases, they're new deployments that didn't catch this in the lead up to being deployed. Bar, sorry, that was sort of my list. What else am I missing?
So, yeah, I think you hit most of the list. And I think it's very easy to forget things in the cloud because you always do a lot of things in a scale. So it is very common to forget that you've, for example, granted tons of permissions to someone because they asked to do something and you just forgot about that. And it's very common to see many users that were granted as part of a project, for example, and nobody really went to delete these users in the end of the project. And it goes on also to roles, which are the known human entities, which are very, very largely neglected over organizations. For example, we saw that most of the organizations have more than 10% of their roles being neglected. Nobody actually used them for more than 90 days. So somebody enabled that, created this role as part of something, maybe just trying to kick a new, to test something, to kick a new project, and decided to not continue with that and forgot this role. And it is just being there with permissions somewhere. That's a thing that is also very, very common among many organizations.
Of course, yeah. And it sounds like the greatest risk is the human element when looking at cloud security risk. And as Neil mentioned, new deployments that weren't caught in the lead up to being deployed. How would you say, since they didn't catch it in time, how do they catch them later on? Or when they find the risk that's there?
Sometimes they find, unfortunately, those neglected assets or entities or whatever they put on their cloud after an incident, which is the unfortunate situation. And sometimes when, for example, they look for costs and they see that they're paying for thousands of users while there are only a few dozens that are actually using their account. That's two examples I could think of. Neil, do you have any additional ideas?
Yeah. And that's a question that's near to my heart. I'm a former incident response analyst, and my career since then has been really focused on how do we get ahead of that? How do we keep from finding everything that was wrong in an incident? And I think as we look at cloud, ultimately, this is not a human scale problem anymore. As we look at sort of DevOps and cloud native approaches, they've focused on automation. They're really pushing things at the security teams. The first answer for security teams is the same thing. We've got to start automating our scanning, automating how we approach, looking at what's deployed, how it's configured, where those problems are. So for me, that's a big part of the answer of how am I going to find this in production, in what's deployed in the cloud. What I'm not going to do is go into my cloud service provider, click on everything, eyeball it, and make sure it's right. I've got to have some approach to looking across everything that's being deployed all the time and catching what is right and what is wrong and notifying me and helping me understand where those problems are.
So it sounds like there are just myriad issues here that we're talking about, right? Like number one is automation and that visibility into what's going on and where. But Bar, you talk about there's more than 10% of roles that are unused for more than 90 days. We're talking about, you know, these unpatched, out of date, unsupported operating systems exposed to the outside world. Like all of these risks that, as Tatiana mentions, are, you know, related to the human element, that they're not discovered at the point of deployment and implementation. And there is, you know, an aspect of sort of implementing a principle of least privilege. And that's maybe widely overlooked, even in mature organizations. So what can folks do at that point of implementation to ensure that they're not having to do, as you said, Neil, like look back at after the incident happened, now we're discovering where all of the risk was. How do they identify that at the point of implementation to ensure a more robust cloud security?
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's easy to be sort of despondent to look at all of these potential problems and how we accelerate them in the cloud as we move to self-service infrastructure and we move to automation and we can really get unsecure faster than we could in a data center where somebody was unboxing something. I think we have to focus on the flip side of that is, while it's possible to do a worse job, We really have all the tools, and we're getting to a point where we can do a much, much better job. We can push security to a place where we are more predictable, more secure, more available. It's all the things that go into that. So a couple of the things for me, and the first one is shift left. And shift left is the idea of taking our security controls, taking our security policy, and implementing that before anything makes it to the cloud, before anything is deployed. So as our developers are writing code, building container images or sort of whatever they're building and deploying them, having our scanning automated in those pipelines to say, hey, you just built a container image. It has a critical vulnerability in it. It has a misconfiguration in it. We need to fix this before we deploy it. That's an incredibly powerful tool, and it works the way developers are already working. The DevOps is already working in those pipelines. They're already doing unit testing and integration testing and performance testing and all these other things that tell them if they've done something wrong. What we want to do is add security into that and make sure that if they've done something that violates security policy, it's appropriately highlighted. If it's critical, it prevents something from being deployed. The second big one for me, I think, is infrastructure as code. And the idea of infrastructure as code is that as we move into cloud and cloud scale, we don't want to have to click through, like in the cloud service provider, we need a new VM. So click, 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 deploy. There are lots of problems with that. I think we struggle a lot with the CSPs with getting everything secure by default. So a lot of times if I just click through, I end up with a VM that's maybe not configured the way I want it. Infrastructure as code, IAC, lets me write code, write some sort of template that describes what I'm going to deploy. So I say, I want a VM. It's going to have 4 cores and 8 gigs of RAM and a 20 gig hard drive. It's going to have these ports open, et cetera, and it describes the whole thing. And so now I can bake that security in right up front, like, hey, if you're going to have port 22 open, you've got to have all of these things. We don't want 22 open by default, but if you do, it has to be configured in this way. You know, all of those things can be baked into that. And once again, I can test security policy against those things before they get deployed, and I can ensure that what I'm deploying is rational and repeatable and secure out of the box. And that reduces the number of problems I then have post-deployment and what's really running in the cloud. And it reduces that human factor we talked about as well.
And that's great. And then what are some examples of actual guidance, you know, understanding that automation is ideal for those who aren't yet shifting left or enabling the infrastructure as code? So what can they do today?
One of the important things is training, ultimately. One of the things that we wrestle with in cloud security is that there aren't enough cybersecurity people, IT security people in the industry, let alone IT security people who understand the cloud and all of the pieces that go into it. It becomes a much more technical, there's a whole set of changes there. So I think two ways. First of all, training our cloud security professionals and making sure that they have the tools that they need and the understanding. But also, there's no way security teams are going to be the only way to keep up. So the other part of this is really pushing security out to our DevOps and our cloud engineers and our all of the other pieces that are becoming part of what is being developed and shipped into the cloud, making sure we have security champions who understand why security is trying to enforce policy where it matters and can act as eyes and ears and extend, be a force multiplier for the security team.
The policy idea is very good. Today, you can have very broad policies provided to you by a cloud provider. So you can actually force a policy, a certain policy for your entire organization. For example, you will always deny an exposure of an S3 bucket. That's a really cool example. And it could be a little bit aggressive, but that's the way to make sure that nobody does what you're afraid they will do.
That's so interesting because it's like the one sort of vulnerability that I understand in cloud security, because I've read so many stories of, oh, you know, this amount of data was exposed because of an S3 bucket, right? The fact that that can be automated as a fix to prevent that is great guidance. And I love that. You know, these are sort of the things that we're looking for our listeners, because the complexity of cloud security, as you know, we go back to what Neil said, that this idea of IT security folks and cloud security folks and those who understand cloud and the need to train cloud security professionals, there seems to be this gap of knowledge when it comes to cloud professionals in terms of cloud providers versus security teams working with cloud. And like you said, that shifting left, pushing security out to DevOps, right? And so there are all these sort of nuances that make cloud security all the more complicated. And so I love that we're talking about simple things, not that any of this is simple, but actionable things that folks can do. So thanks for that guidance, Bar. And I want to just touch on maybe what are some other challenges that organizations are facing when implementing and these obstacles to a more robust cloud security, and what are other ways that they can be addressed?
So it's interesting. I had some conversations with CISOs recently, and one thing that continues to come up is because the cloud is so self-service, a lot of organizations still have development teams going directly to a cloud service provider, spinning up an account, deploying things, and it's outside the security team. It's not visible. They don't know that it's there.
Right.
So, you know, one of the key things, I think, security has a bad reputation often as being the department of no. Like, this is, and this is the sort of thing that happens, right? If we clutch too tight, the business goes around us to do what they want. So one of the key things for me is making sure that you have a reasonable path to moving things to the cloud, to getting everything deployed in an organization where you have visibility and you have control, and not forcing teams to meet business needs by going outside of the paths that you've built for them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That continues to be a challenge. And you know, it's one that I think a lot of CISOs are wrestling with. How do we make sure that our use of cloud is appropriate, but it's easy enough that the business can do it without going around us?
But what's interesting to me, Neil, is that, you know, that's not a new conversation, right?
It's really not. Collectively, we haven't always done a great job of solving for it, though. We've stayed in an old mindset of no, 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 no. And the business is saying, well, we have needs that make the cloud a much better solution for us, a much more effective solution, a more desirable solution. And so there's that navigating. How do you navigate that? And I think the organizations I've talked to that have done a good job have really gone all in on making sure that it was easier to deploy to the cloud following the right path than it was to go around the right path. And the organizations that have problems are really pushing a very hardline mindset of not going to allow you to do it. And so the business routes around them.
Great. Yeah. And I just feel like all this research and what you guys have been talking about, you know, during the deployment, looking at those cloud security risks that are overlooked and catching them in time before they are deployed, to have more of a proactive approach rather than a reactive approach. So it was very helpful for me, and I know for the listeners as well. So Bar and Neil, thanks again for being here today. Listeners, thanks for tuning in. To find products and solutions related to cloud security, we invite you to visit rsaconference.com/marketplace. Here, you'll find an entire ecosystem of cybersecurity vendors and service providers who can assist with your specific needs. Please keep the conversation going on your social channels using #RSAC. And be sure to visit RSA Conference for new content posted year-round. Thank you, and see you next time on RSAC 365.